Medical information obtained from our website or on the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If you have, or you suspect you might, have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of the sports doctor, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hey, everybody, live from Chicago. Welcome. It's the Sports Doctor. All things sports medicine, fitness, and wellness. Hey, you know, school sports are starting. I want to wish everybody a successful injury-free season. Whatever your sports happen to be, it's an exciting time, and good luck to all. We've got a great doubleheader today. Greg Bach. He's a multiple author. He's the Senior Director of Communications and Content at the National Alliance of Youth Sports. We've had a few individuals from that organization where they've been paying attention to youth sports since, I think, 1981. A little bit later, we're going to have Don Wirth. Locally, he's an independent business associate with WCP Solar Renewable Energy. It's such a big deal in the future of health and wellness. He's also a social media specialist. And then, of course, the sports doctor is in your emails. But first, I want to welcome Greg Bach. Again, he's the author of 10 books, including his most recent Secrets of Successful Coaching. He speaks with 50 highly regarded coaches, including, hey, Joe Maddon, coach of the Cubs and many others. He's also, again, like we said, the Senior Director of Communications, National Alliance of Youth Sports. Greg, welcome to the Sports Doctor.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here.
Great to have you. Give us a little bit of background of you and the National Alliance of Youth Sports.
Well, I've been involved with the Alliance since 1993, so my background was in journalism, Michigan State University, so a proud Spartan graduate, and been with the NAIS, like I said, for 25 years. And NAIS has been one of the leaders in the youth sports space as far as providing training programs for volunteer coaches and moms and dads, basically just to provide resources and training to help adults run quality programs for kids and do things the right way so kids have a positive youth sports experience.
Yes, I think we had the son of your founder. John Eng has been a guest previously on the Sports Doctor. Katie Nematolahi, who's your director of, I think, the education. And again, the since 1981, I guess, talk a little bit about their history and their founder.
Our founder, Fred Eng, he started the organization when he just recognized, as the father of seven kids, that he recognized that coaches, even though they had good intentions out there with kids, they were making some mistakes when it comes to the, you know, the where you can cause physical and emotional damage to kids by what you say or what you do. So he created the program where we started reaching out to people to create a training program to provide volunteers with the right way to coach kids, and that's evolved over the years. And now that's one of my big roles is I go out and interview professional and college coaches to try to get their insights on the best ways to coach kids, whether it's motivational or physical or whatever, just to make sure that volunteers, so they have all the information they can to have a positive impact on the kids they're working with.
Yes, and of course your organization works with over 3,000 communities, and I know you've also worked with the armed forces in various aspects over the years, and we're all interested, and for almost three decades, give or take a few weeks, on the Sports Dr. Greg, we've talked about the importance of safety in youth sports. We've talked about the challenges of overkill. It's one of the reasons I co-authored hashtag Hey Sports Parents. Was the still present epidemic of overuse injuries in youth sports, both physical and mental. So the challenge of training coaches and paying attention to what is so important, I think, is such a key role. And I see that you brought together quite a group, like we mentioned at the top, besides all your books for Coaching for Dummies, Coaching in Baseball for Dummies, Football for Dummies, Soccer for Dummies, Volleyball. Did I leave out any sports that you wrote about for dummies?
Maybe lacrosse, I think, is in there.
Yes. And again, it's a fun title, but it gets right again to the important aspects that we're still, you know, a week doesn't go by or a summer doesn't go by, Greg, without either some sort of heat-related catastrophe in the areas of youth sports and in college and high school. And it seems that a season doesn't go by without some sort of mayhem on the sidelines. When we're talking again about youth coaches. And what I like, excited about on the Sports Doctor, as we've had associates and colleagues of yours like Ian Goldberg with iSport 360, across the pond, Gordon McClelland with working with parents in sports, and some of these other organizations. Again, I mentioned frequent guest Joel Franco, who is producing the upcoming documentary, Youth Sports, the Film. It seems like on the one hand, there's this tremendous education information out there. And on the other hand, sometimes it seems like we're treading water with some of these problems because youth sports is a big, big business, isn't it, Greg?
Well, it sure is. And I mean, you covered a lot of the issues that are kind of plagued the landscape. And as you touch in your own book, too, with the overuse injuries, I mean, that's one that's certainly high on the radar these days, just from the fact that, you know, a lot of parents are just really, really pushing their kids with this year-round training in one particular sport when every single athlete that I've spoken to that has reached the highest levels, you know, just cringes when they hear that because that's not the route, as you know. And so many athletes...
It's not the best route. You know, it's not the best route, Greg, but I do have a chapter in my book called The Prodigy Sports. I've been putting orthotics in figure skater skates for like four decades. And, you know, my poster boy, Evan Lysacek, grew up here in the Illinois area, was a 2000 men Olympic gold medalist. And, you know, think of gymnastics, ballet, even now soccer and tennis, where you could tell these kids all day, please play other sports. And they just don't want to. They really, really want to concentrate. It's a big challenge. Everybody, you're listening to The Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Boyle, sports podiatrist here live from Chicago. You can go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com. If you zip over to radio shows, you can go back over 10 years, see who was on, what were the topics. Before that, I still think we have the reels and reels in the closet from the two decades before that we were doing radio. You can listen to whatever you would like. You can zip over to newspaper articles and magazines. You can read some of my latest stuff and our newest sponsor, Lower Extremity, LER Review, one of the greatest physical therapy and sports medicine magazines. We did an editorial for them. They just celebrated their 10th anniversary. And you can read one of my most popular infamous articles, not only the one on whether your child should specialize and what you should do about it, but my article on women in high heels accepting the challenge. We have over 30,000 followers on Twitter. I can't tell you how many guests I get from Twitter as well as LinkedIn. So if you go to at Sports Doc, DOC Radio, you can check all of that stuff out. By the way, Greg, what's the best website to find out about all the different activities that National Alliance is all about?
NAYS.org, NAYS.org.
And I know that, again, as the Senior Director of Communications, you're very involved and I guess your journalistic background makes a lot of sense, you know, with their great newsletter where you're constantly trying to get information out, you know, and again, it's the same marriage. It is coaches, it is doctors, it is parents, it's the athletes themselves where we're constantly looking. You know, I mentioned the epidemic of overuse injuries. You know that probably 20% of the famous Tommy John elbow surgery is done on teenagers when you want to talk about overuse and overkill. So this constant information makes so much sense. And I know, talk a little bit about some of the things that you guys cover in your newsletter that you author.
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned the Tommy John surgeries, because one of the pieces that we did recently with a couple of high-profile surgeons from Andrews Sports Medicine in Alabama is they mentioned that if you're a parent of a son who's 13 or 14 years old and is a great pitcher, that is a scary time, because what happens is the coach is going to use that pitcher way more than he should. So they point out that, you know, if you've got a you've got a talented 14-year-old pitcher, you could be headed down the road of a major surgery just because of the overuse, and everybody wants to use it.
It was unheard of. It was unheard of decades ago. And again, Dr. Andrews, I'm using his stats. We had him on many, many a long, long time ago. And, you know, or whether or not it is the 15-year-old figure skater who's got no ankles and knees left from doing double and triple jumps constantly. So the challenge as we watch the metamorphosis, Greg, of athletes faster, bigger, stronger in so many different ways, then again, we have to try to pay attention to what I've always called on the sports doctor, intelligent rest. And the idea, again, another big-time chapter in my book is called Youth Sports and Drugs. This is a big problem where we have boys and girls who are living on over-the-counter anti-inflammatories, painkillers, because they've got to play, there's the pressure to play, and this is something that we continue to bang away on where we need to back off. And one of the things I tell parents all the time, Greg, and I would include the coaches, absolutely, which is if your son or daughter needs over-the-counter pain medicine to participate, you're pushing it. You're over the line. You need to back off. You need to get some recovery and rest. And it's amazing that still there are these stories and there are these challenges. What are some of the exciting parts, and I know you've been posting stuff on LinkedIn, this 50 different coaches that you got together in your Secrets of Successful Coaching. What were some of the things that really popped out to you as you were writing the book and interviewing these great champions?
Well, one was with the U.S. Women's Olympic volleyball coach and the volleyball legend, Karj Karai. He talked about every day in practice, they would set aside a little portion of the practice for what they called school time. And throughout that section of the practice, they would want players to make as many mistakes as possible, and they weren't criticized for those mistakes. They weren't corrected for those mistakes. And so he pointed out that they wanted to do that to help players learn new skills without the pressure of it, and that how that translates to youth sports, where coaches need to have that time, where kids can just perform without the fear of failure, to help their development, because so many times, as
great
you know,
idea.
Kids are afraid to make mistakes, and it just compromises their ability to get better.
Yes, and, we worked with Karai and some of his teammates from 10 years before that, famous colleague of mine in sports medicine therapy, one of my mentors, really, the Bob Guida, worked with the men's Olympic women's Olympic volleyball team. And it's interesting. We used to always think the highest vertical leaps are in basketball. No, they're not. The highest vertical leaps are in volleyball. What were some of the other pearls and coaches that really stuck out to you, Greg?
Well, relating to where you're at in Chicago, and I sat down with Joe Maddon when he was down here for a series, and we sat down about 90 minutes before a game on the field at Marlins Park, and he talked about how kids recognize every single emotion from a coach, whether you think so or not. So if a child strikes out and the coach's head goes down or just a little hint of negative body language, he's like, that kid will pick up on it, and if he doesn't, someone on the bench is going to pick up on it. So it kind of runs through the team, and all of a sudden kids think, oh, the coach, if I make a mistake, the coach is going to think less of me. He's going to think I'm a failure. So he's like, be really, really aware of every emotion that you say or that you display through your body, which I thought was really important for coaches to keep in mind when they work with kids.
Yes, you know, the late, great Jim Vickery was a sports psychologist. He shared radios stuff with me in the early 90s, and he used to have these bullets for parents and sports parents as well as coaches, and the main one he'd say is, don't be a critic. And that's why, like Karj Karai's idea, hey, let's have some school time here, and let's, you know, not worry about it. And all of these things, because the mental game, I've talked about it on The Sports Doctor for decades, the mental game is a very, very big deal in all aspects of youth sports. And the education of the coaches is something as simple as that. I mean, I think it was last month, there was a 7-year-old Little League game in Colorado. The umpire was a 13-year-old, and the parents got in a slugfest. You know, again, because of these kinds of crazy pressures and the pressure to win and the effect. So I think that's huge when you're talking about the effect that a coach might have, even his mannerisms and some of his attitudes. So again, you know, in all these different communities, got a few minutes left. What do you guys like to do in the world of the armed forces with some of your reach out?
Well, all the military bases, U.S. military bases around the world run our programs where it's mandatory for coaches to go through the training program. So we've had a great relationship with those groups, and they're doing great work to have a positive influence on the kids who go through their sports programs.
Yes. Hey, thank you for your service, man. You know?
No, that's awesome. And great work.
Yeah, absolutely. And so people can actually get involved in all the training programs. I know you have. There's a big seminar you guys have coming up, and I think we got a few minutes left in November. Talk a little bit about that program you guys got coming up, and I think it's in, where is it, in Orlando?
Yep, it's in Orlando this year. It's our 18th annual Youth Sports Congress, November 13th through the 16th. So we have a big lineup of speakers. We've got Lou Holtz, Pat LaFontaine, and we've got a bunch of sessions covering all different aspects of building confidence, building skills, mental skills, handling emergency situations. So anyone who would be interested in coming is welcome to attend. You can get all the details on our website at NAES.org.
Yes. As a matter of fact, if I hadn't have been already committed, you signed me up.
We'll count
your 19th
in.
One. Really, you know, Greg Bakke just gave me the website again. You know, Greg Bakke is the communications director of communications for the fantastic National Alliance of Youth Sports with their work all over the world and their tremendous education for coaches. Give me the website a quickie one more time, Greg.
NAYS.org, NAYS.org.
Great. Thanks so much for joining me. Hold on one quick second, Greg. We'll be right back, everybody. It's the Sports Doctor. Hey, everybody. It's Dr. Bob Weil, the Sports Doctor. I'm excited to announce the release of my new book, co-written with Sharkey Zartman, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, an essential guide for any parent with a child in sports. You know, Sharkey is a former Hall of Fame volleyball player. She's the mom of two daughters who became Division I volleyball players. Together, we have over 70 years of combined youth sports experience. The goal of the book? Give you the essential tools and guidance to make your experience as a sports parent the best it could be. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents is divided into four sections. The first section, Sports Parenting 101. Sharkey talks everything about parenting, about coaching, that whole interaction between parents and coaches, coaching your own kid. What are the things to really pay attention to? The second section is the Sports Doctor's In, yours truly. My discussion of injury prevention and treatment, choosing the best shoes, youth sports and drugs, essential exercises, the dilemma of youth football, orthotics. Third section, experts speak out. We bring together eight different experts in nutrition and sports performance and mental training in all aspects of coaching in that section. The last section is the parents' perspective, some insights from about a half a dozen parents of athletes. So everyone, hey, get out your megaphone, spread the word. Now available on Amazon. Order now. You'll be more confident. So will your young athlete. Hashtag, hey sports parents. Hey, everybody, live from Chicago. We're back. I'm hanging around Chicago. And I got the music a little mixed up. You know, this live radio is an adventure. My friend Don Wirth is going to be joining us. Don is a independent business associate with WCP Solar Renewable Energy. You know, everybody, all our listeners, how we pay such big attention in the health and wellness world about the future of being able to breathe the air and drink the water with renewable energy. He's also a social media specialist. He also is a sports fan with members of his family with different teams, always in contests. Hey, Don, welcome to the Sports Doctor.
Hello, Doc. How are you doing today?
I am doing well, and I'm really glad to have you on. Don also participates locally in lots of different charity events, whether it's the Polar Plunge for Special Olympics, whether it's Shave Your Head for cancer situations, whether it's walking in one event or another. He's very, very active in so many different activities. And believe me, the community in Naperville is proud and glad you're involved, Don. Don, give me a little bit of background, for instance, of you and WCP Solar.
Well, let's just say this. Last year, I had the pleasure to be introduced to Dr. Everton Waters, who happens to be the founder, the CEO, the solar doctor at WCP Solar. In that time, I have been asked to go out and help him with the rest of the team grow the business. And the nice and exciting thing is I'm able to take people from the old fossil fuel to clean energy. Not only are they getting clean energy, which is going to save money, but it's also going to be enhancing the future of the planet. And again, not
right.
only for us, but for the children and
yes.
our grandchildren.
This is such a big deal, the environmental importance of including as best we can the renewable energy and what is he? Is he the doctor of solar?
Well, let's just say this. Whenever I have gone to an event where there are a lot of green type of people who understand the cause and the importance of not only the environment, but also of renewable energy, they know Doc very well. I mean, he has been teaching about it prior to actually starting the company in 2007 here in Naperville. And he is the expert. I mean, they always say, hey, you work for Dr. Wally or you work for the solar doctor. It must be nice. I said, every day is a excitement. Let's just say this, his energy level carries over to the rest of the team.
Well, you know, you really, really need that, to say the least. Again, when we're talking about playing sports in all the different types of sports that all of us love and follow, whether we're talking about, again, the idea of clean energy and the explosion importance of the environment, then we really need, number one, to pay attention to the scientists who are paying attention to all this, especially in our political climate, to say the least. But at the same time, we really, really need to educate the public. It was one of the reasons why I was looking forward to you joining us. And you'll have the doc. You'll put us together. We'll have him on maybe sometime again this fall, because I think it's extremely important to continue to pay big attention. I would imagine that the commercial world, as well as the residential world, has probably got to be the areas that you guys are paying so much attention to. How's the feedback been, you know, with all of this craziness and controversy going on, politically?
Surprising, it's bipartisan.
It wonderful news.
and that's the thing. I mean, you know, I come from the East Coast, okay? We talk like it is. I've been out here in the Midwest since 1976 when I got
Yeah, you and me both, man. You and me both.
And, you know, the community here has been... Yeah, I know. That's what we get along for. So. Especially that Long Island accent. You can't beat it, right?
I hope so, man. That's right.
But anyway, getting back to you, what I'm getting at is the community is behind clean energy all the way. In fact, the Naperville Municipal Center, the North Central College are two big projects that Doc is obviously proud to say are WCP solar projects.
Yes, and of course, Naperville. I've had the mayor on, Mayor Chirico. A matter of fact, we had the late great, we miss him dearly, George Pradel. And we had the mayors on because we were talking about that Naperville was a great example of a community very involved in fitness. Naperville was a community that was very, very, very involved in youth sports and recreational sports in all aspects. And again, this ties in exactly with the challenges of, you know, trying to get off the fossil fuel world, which I know is probably going to take, it seems like, another half a generation.
Well, let's just say this. There's a state bill right now in place, and it's on the Senate floor. And if it passes, you're going to see some tremendous jumps. Because last year, the way I was introduced to Dr. Waters is there's a program that's currently in place where Illinois doesn't want to be just, you know, a second fiddle. They want to be a major player in solar. And the only way they're going to get there is by the backup of not only the local community, but the complete state local government as well.
Well, of course, that's one of your bags, Don. I know that, you know, in the world of social media, you're very, very active. You're always posting something in the world of positive vibes and all sorts of, you even go back and quote our old, late, great Zig Ziglar sometimes on some of your posts. You're a very, very positive guy. And this, of course, is crucial if we're going to get communities and industries to start to pay more and more attention, you know, again, to this idea of having clean air and fresh and clean water, you know, in order to be able to survive. Now, I know that, you know, when we talk so much on the sports doctor about pressures to play, other aspects, and I understand that your wife is, again, a Fighting Illini grad, and they're diehard Cubs fans. But here we go. Your daughter is, you know, the Crimson Tide Alabama, and her husband Clemson, the two teams that are always in the finals. How's that chemistry going, huh, Don?
Well, the most exciting thing is this. The day that I met my son-in-law, you know, obviously he's telling me, you know, how great Clemson is. And I'll be honest with you, my next-door neighbor back in Jersey also went to Clemson. So I said, hey, I have nothing against Clemson. It's just that, you know, my daughter goes to Alabama. And I said, they're two great schools with two great coaches and two great, you know, followings. All I'm going to say is Saban
Saban has 17,
and we're going on 18, you know, national championships, and that's it.
The Alabama football program really, really is, if it's not the absolute Cadillac of college football, it surely is very, very close to it in so many different ways. You know, Clemson is just kind of playing in the same atmosphere now, which is very, very interesting. Of course, as a Louisville grad, we had to face Alabama last year in the opening game and got creamed by three or four different touchdowns. And, you know, again, the fact that there is on the sports doc, we pay so much attention, Don, to really the only two things athletes, coaches, or parents really care about. One is, can we prevent injuries? Can we stay out of trouble? And the other one is, can we enhance performance for those that are really interested in that? By the way, what is WCP Solar's website for people to find out information about them, Don?
It's www.wcpsolar, all spelled out, .com. Again, www.wcpsolar.com.
Yes, and the so they're in business since about 2007. I imagine then it's like 12 years ago. Challenges were even more dire when it came to the exposure of the fact that renewable energy was going to be so important, how climate change has become such a big topic, and such a big deal. And again, when we're talking about our children and grandchildren, this is something that we just have to pay very, very, very close attention to. And it's great to see individual communities, you know, when it's come to fitness and it's come to the idea, the importance of all aspects of that. You know, Naperville, Illinois, is absolutely one of the crown jewels when it comes to the country. And it's great that you're participating in so many parts of that. Your social media whiz, I guess, you know, in this day and age, you've got to really be paying attention to all aspects of that when you're talking about being an educator, don't you?
Well, great. Well, I was just blessed. What I did is I had to meet the CEO, president of a company a few years ago, and he asked if I wanted to help him, you know, and, you know, developing a new business, finding people that are interested in websites or they're interested in all aspects of social media, from Facebook to Twitter to LinkedIn and whatever else, you know, they so matter need. Most important thing is, you know, in today's market, you know, a lot of people say they can do it, but the partners that I have always had can really deliver what they say. So they walk the talk.
Ah, and, walking the talk. Again, everybody, live from Chicago, you're listening to The Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. Go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com. You can zip over to radio shows. You can go back over 10 years. What were the topics? Who were the guests? Listen to whatever you would like. Go over to newspaper articles and magazines. You can read on a myriad of topics and subjects. You can see some of the different hoopla of my induction into the National Fitness Hall of Fame this past April. I'm still basking in that glow. You could read my latest guest editorial in Lower Extremity LER Review Magazine. They're our newest sponsor on The Sports Doctor, where we talk about all aspects, again, of parenting the youth athlete and using different examples. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents. We're going to talk more with Dawn Wirth, again, the independent business associate with WCP Solar Renewable Energy, when we come back after a break. Everybody, it's The Sports Doctor. We'll be right back. Hey everybody, Dr. Bob here. LER, Lower Extremity Review Magazine, is celebrating their 10th anniversary. It's been a decade of providing key clinical and practical information about concerns, conditions, and treatment solutions for the lower extremity, both sports and non-sports alike. LER is the only multidisciplinary publication for doctors of all specialties, educators, therapists, and trainers. They inform practitioners on current developments in the diagnosis, treatment, and prevention of lower extremity injuries. LER prides itself on editorial integrity and evidence-based content. Their tagline, collaborative care for better outcomes, says it all. Hey, colleagues, go to lermagazine.com. Hey, everybody, we're back live from Chicago. We are hanging around Chicago. We're talking to Dawn Wirth. She's an independent business associate with WCP Solar Renewable Energy. And we're talking about the incredible importance. The past year or so, he's been very involved in spreading the word of renewable energy, the challenge of for our own health and wellness as a society, for our own environment, of paying attention to the importance of renewable energy. And Don, I wanted to ask you, talk about some of the different charities that you're involved in, including the Polar Plunge, where you're jumping in the lake when it's 20 below zero for a great cause.
Well, let's just say this. A very good friend of my daughter's, this goes back many years ago, in the Park District soccer, was faced with junior diabetes. And her dad was telling me he's leading a campaign with the Ron Santo Walk for the Cure. So I said, you know, I can do that. And all of a sudden, I figured, hey, not just do it. Let's see if we can raise some money. And I got sort of addicted, got the bug. A few years later, a friend of mine said, hey, how would you like to go to this banquet facility, which is doing this shave? And I said, what do you mean a shave? It says, it's, you know, the shave is for St. Baudrick's, children's cancer. I had no idea I was going to shave my head until I saw a young lady who had a little child, and she shaved her head. And I myself have a personal friend that's been fighting, his grandson's been fighting cancer since two, and now he's about 9 years old, in and out of Lurie all the time. And I said, well, I can do something about that, and I can raise money on that. And then, of course, there's some other events. But then the Polar Plunge, what got me into that is I went to an event that my church had with a golf outing for for special needs children. And I saw how they love competition, if not more, than just regular people. They don't have the gift, but they're concerned about, you know, the score. So I got involved with that. And, of course, so forth and so on. The most important thing is it's not about me. It's about, you know, I can, let's just say, I'm not afraid to, you know, ask people to contribute some of their money for a cause that I'm really passionate about. And I can usually convey the message why it's important to them, too.
Yeah, no doubt about it, especially to definitely our congratulations to you and anybody else who really participates, you know, shows up and really participates in these fantastic causes that all of us in some way, shape, or form are touched by and have been touched by. What's been your experience and the Solar's experience with the cooperation of some of the different communities, whether it's the medical community, whether, again, it's the energy community? How's that relationship been going, Don, with all of this tremendous publicity of how important it is and the controversy? How's the cooperation been with some of our major the energy companies and, again, medical, all of these others? How's that been?
Well, it's an education. And what I'm getting out of that is, let's just say this, you just have to continue to educate people because, you know, change is a constant thing. And you can easily say, hey, people say, well, I don't want to do that because whatever. And I would go and I say, well, you know, I understand how you feel, but, you know, we're not driving around in horse.
You know, you're breaking
anymore.
Up a little bit, Don. Maybe you can change your position. I think somehow you're breaking up.
What I'm saying is as long as you have an open mind and realize that change is not all bad, but in fact it's good, because if we were not open to change, we would still be driving, horse and buggies. Or be our houses with coal. And I said, with clean energy, you can get the benefit of, you know, better health, better community air, and so forth and so on. And even, and I'm talking, you know, in the health part or in the communities themselves. I mean, a lot, I would say, with the green energy campaigns from different organizations throughout the state of Illinois, we've been really educating people, not just Don Wirth, but a lot of people like-minded. And they have forums going on, maybe pretty much via social media as well as public workshops almost daily. And that's the key. The only way you're going to teach people is you got to educate them. Like anything else.
Yes, it's because all these major industries that we grew up with, you know, electricity companies and energy and the coal companies and the oil industry, mm-hmm. things that we've, you know, has been such a huge part of the backbone of the country and the world. And then the realization that the fact that we're going to be eventually, you know, running out of these fuels, a la the word and the term renewable, let alone, again, the health side of it, which is, again, it continues to be a big challenge with that type of education, especially with some of these people who grew up in our generation and even before, and all of these different respiratory problems and lung problems and some of these other situations. So the education is so important. It's great to see that there's a good, you know, cooperation in that regard. And there are more and more industries, right, that are might be totally renewable when it comes to the building of buildings and some of these other areas.
Absolutely, without a doubt. That's what's really the positive, real feedback that you see. And it's not just short-lived. I mean, you can see the energy since last year when I first got involved till now. I mean, people are much more receptive, much more understanding. But again, you still have to educate. You still have to let them know. You still have to listen. And then make sure you have the resources, not just Don, but my team of experts, but also give them the knowledge from independents so they can see that it's not just slanted from WCP Solar.
Yeah, your CEO, Don, the CEO you mentioned, Don, what's his background?
He is an electrical engineer, and his background is renewable energy.
Okay, yeah, so the electrical engineer is what he brings also to the table, which, so you know, another, makes yeah, a makes an awful lot of sense.
Well, what I'm saying is WCP Solar is a local company, but they, in other words, we do the soup to nuts type of setup. What I mean by that is we take it from the beginning to the end. We don't job it out. It's from the installation to the, complete from beginning to end. In other words, we discover what the customer needs, we provide what the customer needs, and then we deliver what the customer needs. And then we make sure it works because we have online monitoring. So it's sort of like 7x24. And the nice thing about solar is it's guaranteed for as long as there's a sun, the product's going to work. And the panels that are on that roof are going to last for 25 years.
Yeah, what are they made of, the panels?
That's a good question. They are made of a special product. I mean, it's some kind of...
High science. High science and misdemeanors. You know, before we run out of time with you, we run out of time with you, Don, I got to ask you about, you know, again, Clemson and Alabama, who have been in the last... How many national title games have they played? Has it been three that they've been playing each other?
Yes, three they have. And in fact, let's just say this. Last year when Deanne didn't win, her sister-in-law won for the first time because she goes to Clemson. And so I'm talking to her mother-in-law, and she says, well, at least my my daughter-in-law won't be happy. I said,
right.
And I said, but, you know, anyway, that's what's going to happen.
Send them all roses. We send them all roses.
It.
Don, give me the website again, Don, for WCP.
It's www.wcpsolar.com.
Got it. Don Wirth, the independent business guru associated with them, pushing the importance. Hold on, Don. Thanks so much for joining us. Everybody, we'll be right back with the Sports Doctors Inn.
If you live in or near Aurora, Illinois, and you're into sports, fitness at any level, or your son and daughter is, you cannot forget about your feet. Your feet affect everywhere else. There are complex motions that come into play, especially in sports. Your ankles, knees, hips, and back all are affected with your foot mechanics. Come visit the office, Dr. Bob, and get evaluated. Check what shoes are best for you. I offer prescription orthotics, which is usually one of the major tools for treatment and prevention of foot-related ankle and leg problems. Also, enhancing performance. Step or two quicker. Call 630-898-3505 or go to sportsdoctorradio.com.
Hey, everybody, we are back live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Wild, sports podiatrist. I might have got a little carried away with my friend Don Wirth, who was just on once we started talking about the Alabama-Clemson rivalry. Anyway, welcome to the Sports Doctors In segment. We talk a little bit about some upcoming guests, and we answer some emails. Next week, David Lyons. David was inducted into the National Fitness Hall of Fame with me at the end of April. He is a champion of education and fitness on the MS, multiple sclerosis side. He's got an incredible organization with so much activity in education. We're looking forward to him joining us. And then Rich Dubin. Rich is the publisher of LER, Lower Extremity Review Magazine. They're our latest sponsor. They are a highly regarded multidisciplinary magazine in all areas of physical therapy, sports medicine. And then the following week, Rich, the following week, Coach Reed Malpe, and he's one of the leaders in the world of youth sports. And Sarah Auster, the young lady so involved in sound therapy, sound bath, fascinating topic for relaxation, recovery, some exciting stuff coming up. Let's grab an email or two here. Phyllis says, I'm 48 years old. I play golf. I have heel spurs. Do the heel spurs ever go away? Heel spurs are protrusion of bone, Phyllis. Usually there's some long-term stretching and inflammation of the attachment of the plantar fascia, the fan-shaped tendon on the bottom of the foot, to the heel, and they will not go away. Many of them cause discomfort because of the process of the inflammation. Rarely are they a surgical problem. Almost always you're looking at proper support in your shoes, ideally a custom orthotic and physical therapy, but true heel spurs do not go away on their own. Jerry says, would you review some of your thoughts on the specialization, one sport or many, for young athletes? I have a great article on that. All, if you go to sportsdoctorradio.com, you go to newspaper articles, Trib Local, you'll see an article on that topic where we talk about that ideally, yes, we want the young boy or girl to play multiple sports. We don't want them to specialize early in adolescence, but there are sports like gymnastics and figure skating, ballet are examples, even tennis and soccer, where that young boy or girl does not want to play other sports. So the recommendation is play as many different sports as you can. Use different parts of the body. When you are specializing, then you become more susceptible to these repetitive motion injuries because of using the same muscles the same way, the same joints all the time. So we frown on it, but if that boy or girl is involved in one of these prodigy sports, we want them to get under the supervision of a good physical therapist, personal trainer, to have the best program possible to try to strengthen and train the opposites, as my famous sports therapist friend Bob Guida would talk about, and try to stay away from those repetitive motion problems. Randy talks about his 11-year-old son is on two soccer traveling teams. He's been dealing with heel problems for a couple of years. You know, Randy, most heel problems in growing children is the inflammation of the large growth center that is developing and coming together at the back and bottom of the heel. And this growth center is susceptible to pounding.
and any running jumping sport can make it susceptible. Soccer is famous because these kids are in cleats almost at the beginning of their playing of soccer, and there's a cluster of cleats right under the heel. Get the kid out of the cleats, put him in a multi-purpose soccer shoe that has multiple nubs on the bottom, and because of this history, see podiatry. We can solve the persistent heel syndrome, Stever syndrome, with... under the heel, besides the pounding, besides the cleats, then orthotics can solve that problem. Sometimes you got to back off, intelligent rest. You can't push through this. Otherwise, it'll be what you're seeing, which is one season after another. So we might need a couple of weeks off and make sure we're in the right shoe. See podiatry. You know, Janine says, my 12-year-old daughter is a serious figure skater. She skates 6-7 days a week. Hey, a la prodigy sport. You know, my famous prodigy sport, Evan Lysacek, grew up in Naperville, Illinois. He was 10 years old. He put orthotics in his skates. 13 years later, he was the Olympic gold medalist. That's the only sport he did. I'm still putting orthotics in 10-year-old figure skater's skates. And the point is, Janine mentions Haglund, the bump on the back of the heel with a little girl. And these are common in skating where we're locked into a boot. And if there's any excessive motion, one of the friction points is the back of the heel. True Haglund's is where the heel bone itself might be a little bit thicker in the back of the heel. An x-ray will show us that. But the great news is combination of punching out the back of the boot, which your bootmaker can do for you, and seeing podiatry, orthotics is the gold program to control excessive heel motion. That's been very, very, very successful, even with large bumps, even if they don't hurt her. You want to be able to be paying attention to this, because once they start hurting, it becomes even more of a problem. Do I have time for Sarah? Sarah says, I'm 60 years old. I have fungus toenails. Is it dangerous? No, it isn't. Some people want to pay big attention to this. It's almost always a cosmetic concern. It's a difficult problem, Sarah. You got to be a patient. It could take sometimes a year or two to get rid of the problem, even with all the crazy advertising. You know, we can paint something on the toenails and get rid of it. Not all thickening, discolored toenails are fungus. So your podiatrist, the dermatologist, can do a test in order to determine if that's the case. For example, runners and athletes, from the trauma of the nails banging against the shoe and rubbing against the shoe, that can get inflamed or thickened, et cetera, also can sometimes present the same thickened or discolored picture. So you want to get a diagnosis. It is not dangerous. When the nails hurt, sometimes, again, I might see somebody in the podiatry office every 3 months or so where we can thin out, grind down the thickened toenail, keep it from getting offensive, pay attention to sometimes the ingrown edges, if that's the case, and keep people very, very comfortable. But when we have somebody who really wants to pay attention to the cosmetics of it and you want to see dermatology, there are oral medicines that can be taken, but oral medicines have side effects. So sometimes we're reluctant to prescribe oral medicines, which can have side effects. Might require monitoring, for example, of a liver function in that regard. So many times we're looking for topical preparations, but it depends. Is it one nail? Is it lots of different nails? It really is something that we want to pay attention to. Again, I'm excited about wishing everybody a successful school sports season. There's so much going on in fall sports and in junior high school. In high school, you got football starting. You got girls tennis starting. You have cross country starting. You have soccer starting. So much going on. And again, sportsdoctorradio.com if you want to check out the website. And we'll catch everybody next week. Thanks, everybody. It's the Sports Doctor.